Very special guest on today. Would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
Hi, Johnny. My name's David Whiteman, and I'm the CEO of Prokey.
Now, this is a bit of a segue, this podcast, because the title of it is what has a funeral director got to do with vaccinations?
Right.
So we might as well just get into it. David, what's your name? Where do you come from? What do you do? And what's the crack with your new business?
Yeah, so my name's David Whiteman. I have been a funeral director and an embalmer. I've also been a health and safety officer in the Dundee and Angus area, covering Fife as well for the last 28 years. The reasons that I've come into the world of pharmacy and vaccinations specifically is because I've struggled to get vaccines gradually, or more and more so over the last few years in the private sector for the team that I look after at work. And that's why I've come around to trying to work out a way of how we can access vaccines for ourselves, for other professionals, key workers and volunteers around the UK.
So how did you get to this point in your career, David? How did it come that you, you now run a business?
Well, I started off as a funeral director. Actually, I was one of the youngest funeral directors in the UK at the time. I was only 18, coming up for 19. I went into it after I left school, supposedly to be a year out before I started university. And 28 years down the line, I've worked for two companies. I'm a qualified funeral director, embalmer, and also a health and safety officer. The health and safety officer part of my role was the thing that led me to, you know, getting into vaccinations, because I was struggling to get them in the private sector for my team. And after speaking to a number of people, not only just funeral directors, but, you know, other key workers, care workers, volunteers, for instance, lifeboat crews, which I'm also a member of the RNLI in Broughty Ferry, you know, realizing that all these people and many others out there were struggling to access the vaccinations that they require in the private sector.
And what we don't talk about death very much in this country at all, to be honest. So,
no,
like 18, 19, that's pretty. I know some folk, unfortunately, see folk that have passed away when they're young, in unplanned circumstances, clearly. But what was it? What was the impact on you of seeing that passed away so early?
Oh, surprisingly, you know, I managed it quite well. I'd seen my granddad when I was only 14 years old, and that was my sort of first sort of memory of seeing somebody that had passed away. But yeah, I just kind of took it on the ground running and went with it, and quickly sort of managed to realise how you deal with you know, the loss, the grief that people go through. You know, being close enough to it without, you know, being completely absorbed in it that affects your own life. I would say it's probably retarded some of my emotional senses sometimes. Some people will tell me that. But, you know, other than that, as far as I can see myself, unless anybody's going to tell me any different, you know, I've managed through it unscathed. It has its moments, has its times, has some difficult times. Nobody likes to see, you know, young people dying especially, but then you have the celebration of the life of the older people that have, you know, had a long and sort of energetic life, and, you know, it's good to be able to help these families out too.
Yeah, it's one of the reason I ask is well, not that specific question, but around, you know, after folk have passed away, it was one of the times I find working in community pharmacy, particularly when community pharmacists kind of the most impact. Would you agree? Is it similar for funeral directors? Like when folk are family members are at their most vulnerable and so on, you can really make a difference.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. It'll be exactly the same in local sort of community pharmacies, because they'll be the same as we are at the funeral directors. You know, you're seeing these people, you know, in the street. You've seen these people coming in and out, attending other funerals. Pharmacies will be obviously having them in and out, getting prescriptions, etc. And when they're at their lowest point, they really do. They need support. And, you know, you're completely correct. You know, it's a very, very similar thing when you're dealing with the public at a time like that. pharmacies and pharmacists will surely see, you know, the impact that it has on people, and you know, they need that extra bit of support, a little bit of encouragement, and you know, even the wee odd wee laugh and joke at that sort of time is something that helps people through it.
You kind of answered my next question partially, but the touch point for, and a lot of community pharmacists listening to, and other pharmacists listening to this will recognize this, that the touch point is often when someone in your community passes away. You'll hear through the grapevine, or the name will be in the paper, and the team will have a chat about it. And you as you say, if it was someone who's been around for years, decades, usually have a bit of a chat about their life and their contribution and all that kind of thing. But the other touch point is then, or what happens next generally is when the return medication comes back, especially if it's an old person. And that's always the point where the pharmacist has an opportunity to have a chat with family members. And interestingly, it's often not folk that are local, because, well, pre-pandemic anyway, folk, youngsters of older people often live either abroad or in another part of the world. So it's usually often not folk that are familiar to you. But with all that in mind, like, and based on, because I just think you must have so much experience of that early grief process. You'll have observed so many people going through that. So with all that experience you've got over those 28 years, David, what's your advice to pharmacists, community pharmacists particularly, on receiving those return medications? How do you handle that conversation?
Well, I think it's got to be, you know, that I think that to answer that question, to be honest, that it's always that situation of when you have somebody that is at that raw stage of grief, it's too easy to tread on eggshells with them, and I think they're looking just for a bit of normality. And like we've again just tying up what we said, you know, if their loved one, if their parent, you know, their brother, their sister, was somebody that stayed locally and you're from out of town, it's would be a lovely touch, I think, for, you know, the pharmacist to say, you know, I knew your mum, I knew your dad, I knew your brother, and you know, it was great to see them coming in and out of here. You know, we looked after them for quite a while, and you know, just sharing maybe a wee story, a wee memory of them coming in, if it was somebody that they knew, would help a family, I think, and it just helps them sort of build up a better picture of maybe something that they've not known about their own family. You know, that they've linked up in the community. You know, it's not something that people would think about generally. You know, of them going to the pharmacist, like we're discussing just now. So yeah, just the support, bit of familiarity, and you know, sharing a story if there's one there, or you know, just you know, passing on their regards and to the family themselves.
So you probably think that's very basic, kind of run-of-the-mill stuff, but I think a lot of pharmacists will appreciate that advice, actually. The other thing that you do, the other thing we have kind of in common, not quite in common, because I've never volunteered for the RNLI, but I used to do a lot of sailing when I was younger competitively, so I understand very well, probably more than most, the dangers of the sea. So what is your, well, how long have you been doing the RNLI thing? What do you do in it?
So
And um
7 years I've been doing RNLI for. I
mm-hmm.
work quite a lot of the time on the shore. I do go out on exercises and shouts. I do quite a lot of preparation and shore crew work as well. But like you say, the dangers of any water spans, whether that be a river, like you know where I am, it's we cover the River Tay and out into the North Sea, and flanking stations in Arbroath and Anstruther. So you know, it can be anything from, sadly, you know, we have the Tay Bridge in Dundee, and it can be sadly linked with my normal job as well, that sometimes people actually do try and take their own lives coming off the bridge. Down to people like yourselves, out sailing and just getting caught out with the wrong weather, or you know, something breaking down on their boat. A lot of people out these days becoming more and more popular on the paddle boards, etc. All these sort of things. But yeah, people sometimes just, you know, don't quite respect the water, as we say in the RNLI, as much as maybe they should do. And other people just genuinely get caught out. It's a mistake. They've prepared for everything, but you know, you can't beat the water. The water will always win if you've not got the correct equipment.
Oh, definitely. And things, I won't bore listeners with stories, but so many examples in my experience of where you're, you know, it's a lovely day 1 minute, and then a little bit like hill walking, and you know, in the mm-hmm. Highlands, things can change.
Of course, like, you can, yeah.
In minutes, so yeah, no, that's really interesting. I just ask you all that because I'm always interested to speak to folk that have started businesses, and I actually don't think there's enough conversation about that in our profession. I know you're not a pharmacist, but
no,
a lot of pharmacists are employed, and you know, really the number of pharmacists that start businesses is very much in the minority. And I would be of the view that it'd be good to encourage, you know, innovation and entrepreneurship and that kind of thing. So it's interesting to hear your experience, how you've come to where you're at just now, if you know what I mean. So tell us about the business then. So before that, every business has a story, I guess. So what's the story of Prokey? Yeah.
Prokey, hopefully, the way it's going is going to be a success story of COVID and lockdown, because myself and a close friend of mine, we actually went to school together with Graham Toms. He's the CEO of Pharmadoctor, as a lot of people out there will know. We were chatting more and more. I'm in Scotland, obviously. He's down in London. But we were chatting more and more in the evenings when we were sort of locked down, and discussed exactly the issues that I've been having with trying to get vaccines through sort of my own work and volunteering. And we started, you know, putting things back and forward to each other, thinking, is there a possibility that Pharmadoctor could help out here, you know, and is there a possibility that there's maybe a business opportunity for myself to not only protect my own colleagues at work here and maybe at the local lifeboat, but, you know, across the whole UK. And then in me asking other people and, you know, making a few inquiries with other funeral directors, with care workers who were closely linked with nursing homes and people that do care in the community, we decided, you know, it's not just me that's got the problem. There's a lot of people got this issue. So myself and Graham put our heads together, and we spent more or less every night, you know, that we could, and weekends, just sort of going through a business plan and seeing if the whole Prokey idea was viable. And here we are today now. You know, we're 6 months into the production of it, and probably a year down the line from the idea kicking off.
Very good. So we don't, like, again, in pharmacy, we don't speak business models very much. So what's your business model?
So the way Prokey works is that I would ask a company or an organisation to subscribe to Prokey. Prokey would then manage their whole team vaccinations, and we'd use an online consultation, which would then point them through the pharmacy finder to any of the pharmacies that have signed up through the Pharmadoctor e-tools. And there is a link to that dedicated page for Prokey on the Pharmadoctor website. So in that way, we can then not only provide the vaccinations, but we can also then keep the individuals, the companies, organisations updated, and, you know, remind them when their next vaccinations are due. We've also got a link through LML for blood testing as well, which we have just recently signed up for. So we can basically carry out everything from start to finish, from the online consultation through to the individual walking through the door of the pharmacy, and then right back to reporting it to the individual and to their key person at, you know, at work or in their organisation.
Very good. So I see how it works now. So you're plugging in. Prokey is basically a a vaccination service provider specifically for the likes of funeral directors, private sector folk that or
Private
organizations
sector,
that
professional,
might
yeah,
otherwise.
professionals, key workers, volunteers, people in the private sector that you know that need vaccinations, that are on the front line and need protected. And like you say, we plug in through the Pharmadoctor e-tools through a special sort of created Pro Key banner, and that's how we drive, and we intend to drive business through pharmacy.
Very good. I mean, folk know I'm a big advocate of community pharmacy, and actually a lot of the stuff we do through PIP is now aimed at supporting the training of community pharmacists. So we've got we're really moving towards being a pharmacist-led training provider. That's what we're trying to do. And already we've got quite a few courses up there, pneumococcal, chickenpox, and all the rest of it. So what do you need from the community pharmacist community at the moment to help, in your sort of business ecosystem? What can they do to help? How can they get involved? And what's the benefit to them as well, David, really?
Well, at the moment, to try and encourage community pharmacists, any pharmacy out there, we have, again, along with Pharmadoctor, partnered up and created a package. So, like I said, you can go on, any pharmacist can log in through their Pharmadoctor account. There's a dedicated page where they can see and understand exactly what it is that we're providing, in more detail than what I'm explaining at the moment. But to start off with, it'll be Hep B, pneumococcal, and flu. And we intend then to go further on to open up different avenues as Pro Key sort of evolves. But at the moment, the packages we're looking at that we're going to offer will be the Hep B, pneumococcal and flu e-tool packages.
How do you see, what as a non-pharmacist, I'm quite interested to hear your view on, how do you see community pharmacy as an entity to engage with as an external business? What are the pros and cons, kind of thing?
I think community pharmacies is absolutely key for me. Whether it's to do with the Pro Key business itself, going right back to the start, the fact that GP surgeries, as we all know, are offering less and less, not only private services, but just trying to get appointments and get any form of treatments. So I think these community pharmacies are so important, and are going to be more and more important as we go forward. The COVID situation has amplified this, and not only people, companies like ourselves, like Pro Key, tapping into the pharmacy network to provide vaccines, but just in general, well-being these days, I think, is another thing that's come up that's something that we might end up going through into in the occupational health services. The community pharmacies, these are the places that, like we discussed earlier, these are the places that people feel comfortable going to. And I think it's going to be more and more a thing of the past that people go to their GP for what they want. I think they are actually going to go to the community pharmacist, the friendly face, hopefully behind the counter, to give them advice, help them, and hopefully get the treatment that they require. So community pharmacy to me, as the sort of owner of a company, is huge. But my own community pharmacy here in Broughty Ferry is my first port of call these days for anything for myself or the kids. So it's massively important, and it's great to see them evolve the way they are, and fill that gap.
And what are your sort of have to declare an interest here, but the level of training that sorry the level of training opportunities that community pharmacists have. I mean, I don't mind sharing an opinion. I don't think there's enough training opportunities out there. I don't think there's enough training infrastructure across the networks. Talk to me maybe a bit about your expectations around training, because you're driving your customers to community pharmacies. So what training do you expect from the pharmacist, and what due diligence would you do around that.
Well, I think training from people like yourself, Johnny, is paramount. It's one thing, saying everything we've just said there about, your community pharmacy being, a great go-to point, but these pharmacies need support. They need training. They need to be confident. And like you say, in due diligence itself, is that they can't provide these services without, really knowing what they're talking about. They need to be fully trained up, and that goes for every pharmacy, every community pharmacy around the UK. Hopefully people like yourself can increase the amount of learning that opportunities that are out there for them as well, or this whole thing, doesn't work, in my opinion.
But I think, well, I know I agree with you, and that was a bit of a leading question, wasn't it? Considering we're starting a training provider, but anyway, never mind. There we go. Shameless plug. Who cares? No, I agree with you. But one thing I would say about what you're trying to do is that it's all about the pharmacy, the community pharmacy ecosystem for me. And there's a lot of sort of strands to a community pharmacy in terms of what services they offer and all the businesses that sit behind to supply all the resources and infrastructure that allows them to do what they do. So all I would say is I think what you're trying to do is brilliant, to be honest. I think I've seen some of your promotional materials, and it's they're really, really professional, and you're on the button. But I think you're coming into the market as a business to support community pharmacies really positive, and I just think it promotes community pharmacy as well as a destination. So it's someone out, it's an organization out with the NHS, but also out with community pharmacy itself that's promoting folk to go and avail of the services of a pharmacist, really, which I think is really good.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that's again, going back to where I stay in Broughty Ferry, we've got obviously the Davidson's group. They're a massive group in this area. And Broughty Ferry, like a lot of other places who have lifeboats, have a very strong community sense. So it's the perfect situation of exactly what you've just said there. Prokey can do this throughout the whole of the UK in all these individual places and touch all of them the same way as, I'm seeing it happen and I'm envisaging it happening here at home, where, it's bringing the whole community together and, yeah, pointing them towards their community pharmacy, driving people through the door and making them even more known than they maybe were yesterday.
Yeah, and then, to bring the conversation full circle, I think unfortunately a lot of the stuff that community pharmacists do, can't be measured. And I think this has been a really interesting conversation, particularly around your experience as a funeral director, David, because coming full circle, if there's no businesses like you supporting, and community pharmacies aren't viable, and we don't have the the regulatory structure to protect the bricks and mortar network, then all those face-to-face interactions, not least when like when a relative, like we discussed, when a relative brings in the medication,
Yeah.
those conversations, they'll just never happen,
No, that's
So
it. And yeah, like you say, going right very back to the very, very start, the same as in the job that I do as a funeral director, the same as the community pharmacies do. We need to keep this whole system working. And like you say, it's all the bricks and mortar will no longer be there. I mean, there's so much can be done online, and that's what Prokey is all about. But at the end stage of it, Prokey would not operate if it didn't have a community pharmacy, if it didn't have the bricks and mortar, it didn't have the pharmacist behind the counter at the end of the day, and the one, putting the needle in the arm when it comes down to it.
absolutely, good stuff. Yeah, well, listen, thank you very much for coming on. It's been really bit of a different direction. I've never interviewed a funeral director.
Oh, there you go. First time for everything, Johnny.
Absolutely,
Yeah,
but
no.
no, your insights are really good, and I think your business sounds really, really interesting and exciting, and you're gonna do a lot of good work with that. So yeah, I wish you all the best with it, David.
Yeah, thanks very much, Johnny, and I really appreciate you letting me come on and speak to you and hopefully get some of the information and put Prokey out to the pharmacy community out there. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure there'll be lots of folk keen to have a chat with you. All right, all the
Fantastic.
best for now, David.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Johnny.